It is the first Sunday after Epiphany, which is Jesus' baptism Sunday. So we're going to talk about Jesus' baptism and new beginnings and change and all those great things. Matthew 3, 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Baptism is one of those big changing events in our lives as well. There was an old Southern Baptist minister who every Sunday preached something about baptism. And while the congregation kind of liked what he preached, they were getting tired of the same old content every Sunday. So the deacons got together and they figured out, we got to find a way to change this. So they talked to him and they kind of built him up a little bit. Said, "You know, you're a great preacher and we really like the way you preach. But we were hoping that if we gave you any particular verse, because you're such a great preacher, you could preach on that subject." Thinking they'll give him a verse that he can't preach about baptism. So they pondered on it a little bit and they thought, Genesis 1, "For God created the heavens and the earth." They gave it to the preacher right before the service and he read through it several times and got up to the pulpit and he says, "God created the heavens and the earth. If my geography reminds me, the earth is 1/4% land and 3/4 water, which leads us to baptism." Some people just don't seem to get the idea. There's also a young boy who was a Baptist minister's son and thought, "I'm going to baptize the cats." So he got the little kitten and he managed to get the kitten in and out. Not too much trouble, but the tomcat's sitting there watching all this going on. And when he grabs the tomcat and starts to dip him down in the water, he gets the back of his head wet, and the tomcat starts scratching and clawing, and he finally turned him loose. Little boy turned around and looked at the tomcat and said, "Fine, be a Methodist then." We tend to pick on the Baptists a little bit and about baptism and those kinds of things, and it's all in good fun. Baptism is a very important thing in the life of a Christian. Baptism, of course, is mainly an outward expression of your giving yourself over to Christ. And that's why Christ didn't really need to be baptized. He did that as an example to us so that we would do it. And, of course, there's always discussion about what is baptism, sprinkling or dipping the head or, you know, full immersion or however you need to do it. But baptism is very important. Baptism in Jesus' life brought about a big change in his life. He was no longer going to be the carpenter's son. He was no longer going to be helping his dad build things. He was going to become a missionary of sorts and spread the gospel. This was a major change in his life. Being baptized is a major change. I'm sure most of you have seen the movie The Shawshank Redemption, and if you'll recall, he used his little geology pick to punch a hole in the wall and got into the sewer main and for 500 yards crawled through this mess, and he came out the other side, and he's standing there in this thunderstorm that God created to cover up his escape, and it's pouring down rain, and he essentially gets baptized from God by this storm that washes him off. I can't imagine going through something like that, but sometimes we deal with terrible things in our lives, finally realize that we need that thing which is empty in us, that Christian feeling, the love of God, knowing it's there, and so we get that big change in a troubled world, in a troubled life perhaps, and change is not always a bad thing. People look at change and they think, oh no, Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what is up down the road. I've quoted before, I was reading this little book about growing churches, and one of the comments that the author makes is that people tend to be engaged to change, but married to their traditions. People don't like change. You don't want to go through change. But change can be a good thing. As I mentioned at the beginning of the service, all this is going on with the Methodist Church, and we may finally have a solution, which I'm sure on the surface, and I was the same way, when I first saw that proposal, I thought, no, we're being sold out because we're having to give up our name. But it is just a name. It doesn't change anything about us as Christians, as worshipers. Change in this instance could be a great thing. The Wesleyan Covenant Association, a couple years ago, they started this association. They've come up with a plan to go along with the plan for a new Wesleyan denomination, which is more towards making disciples, and it kind of gets away from all the strict administrative things that go along. And I think it could be a good thing, but we're going to have to embrace it and not be afraid of it. Because change is a good thing. We can set new goals. We can have messages of new hope. We can look forward to good things, not look forward in dread. But first of all, we've got to be willing to make the change. I know that may sound obvious, but think about it. You have to be willing to make the change. Kind of a corny little joke from a Presbyterian pastor about change. You know the old joke about how many people does it take to change a light bulb? Okay, now think about this, and you may identify with some of these. If you're charismatic, only one, because your hands are already in the air. If you're a Baptist, it takes 15 people, one to change the bulb and three committees to decide how to do it. If you're Catholic, don't worry, it's all candles. Episcopalian, it takes 8. One to call the electrician and 7 to say how much better they liked the old light. For Methodists, undetermined. Whether your light is bright, dull, or completely out, you are loved. You know you are loved. If you're a Nazarene, it takes 6. One woman to replace the bulb and 5 men to review the church lighting policy. For a TV evangelist, it takes just 1, but for the message of light to continue, pick up the phone and pledge your support today. For the Amish, it's like, what's a light bulb? And finally, Presbyterians, change. My grandmother gave this church that light. People do not like change. They will resist it with all their being. But it doesn't need to be that way. We should be willing to move forward and make a change. In your Christian journey, you made a big change when you came to the altar and gave yourself to Christ. And hopefully you continued to change as you grew through your Christian journey. But you have to be willing to make those changes. Sometimes changes that can be painful. If you've ever watched a mother bird and the babies, when they finally get to where she wants them out of the nest, and she kind of coaxes them a little bit, but they're scared because they don't know they can fly. They're standing there on the edge of that nest looking down and thinking, oh God. So the mama bird will start pecking at their feet, pecking to the point where it's painful for the little chick, and the chick jumps out of the nest to get away from it. And realizes, wow, this is great. I can fly. So sometimes you go through a little bit of a pain to see that change is good. I've said for years that sometimes God allows terrible things to happen to us because he wants to change our direction. We're going the wrong way, and he's tried to nudge us a little bit, but we just don't seem to see it. So he makes something happen that goes, oh, I need to change where I'm going. And it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Georgia O'Keeffe, who is an artist, she was Texan. She had painted quite a few paintings in Texas. She married a famous photographer, Alfred Stieglitz. They moved to New York. Well, she decided she was going to start a whole new life with her new photographer husband. So she took all of her paintings that she had painted in Texas and threw them out in the garbage. Her and her husband went out to dinner shortly after that. When they came back, the storm had scattered these pictures all over the sidewalk, but she walked right past them and went on up into the apartment anyway. She had decided she was going to make the change, and she didn't care about her past. It was going to happen. And we should be the same way. We should not worry about the past. We shouldn't worry about the things that have happened to us. You can't go back and do anything about it. What you should be looking at is what you can do from today forward. Marianne Williamson writes, when you ask God into your life, you think God is going to come into your psychic house, look around, and see that everything's pretty good. We just need to clean things up a little bit. And you're okay with that for a few months. And then from inside your psychic house, you look outside and you see the wrecking ball. God wants to change your life, not just clean it up a little bit. He wants to change the foundation that you're living in. Start over from scratch. Because God likes to see change in our lives. He likes to see us going the right direction. But you have to be willing to make those changes. You have to look at God and say, okay, God, I'm with you. Walk with me, and we'll be okay. For those of us who have been baptized, we have a challenge to live up to. Because baptism is a change in our lives. There's a neat little story about a little girl, her mom. They've been shopping at Walmart. They're getting ready to leave. They're standing under the awning because it's pouring down rain. And there are several people standing there with them. They're waiting for the rain to let up a little bit so they can go out to their car. The little girl looks up at mom and says, let's run through the rain. Mom looks at the little girl and goes, what? Let's run through the rain. No, we're going to wait until it slows down a little bit. A few minutes later, the little girl looks up at mom and says, let's run through the rain. Mom says, we'll get soaked. No, we won't, mom. That's not what you said this morning. And she tugged on her mother's arm. Her mother looked at the little girl and said, this morning, when did I tell you we could run through the rain and not get wet? The little girl looks at mom and says, don't you remember when you were talking to daddy about his cancer? You said, if God can get us through this, he can get us through anything. Little kids listen to those things. They remember them. If God can get us through this, God can get us through anything. So if there is change in your life, God can get you through it. So the mother gave in. They dashed out to the car through the pouring rain and got soaked. As all the other people standing there in awe decided, we can do it too. And that's another thing that change causes. People see change in your life and they think, wow, did God do that? Maybe I ought to check this out and see what this God thing is all about. People see these things happen. They see how you live your lives. And if you make a change in your life for the better, they see those things. just have to pay attention. Jesus made a big change when he was baptized. We have made a big change when we were baptized. And change is good. Don't be afraid of change. If God nudges you and says, hey, I think you need to do this. I think you need to go this way. Don't be afraid of it. God has his reasons. Even if it looks pretty dismal to you, God has his reasons. Kind of chuckled at Linda Gibbons. We were visiting her yesterday. Joey was up there. She made some comment about Joey had been to an auction and he had bought a wheelchair for $35, a very nice wheelchair for $35. And she says, I looked at him and said, son, what did you buy that wheelchair for? And a few months later, she needed that wheelchair. She says, sometimes we just don't know. And I agreed. I said, yeah, sometimes things happen in our lives that we think, God, what are you doing? And a few months, maybe a few years later, you look back and say, ha, that's what that was all about. I needed to make that change. I needed that thing. God knows. God knows your past, your present, and your future. And he knows if you need to make a change in your life. And if we as a church need to make a change come May, so be it. If it is God's will, it's going to happen. And if it is God's will get through it. If God takes you to it, God will get you through it. So don't be afraid of change. Don't fear new beginnings. We all make changes in our lives. If you look back at the changes in your life, you may see a blip here and there, but hey, stuff happens. But for the most part, if you look back on your life, you'll find that change has been a good thing. It's not always a bad thing. So don't fear change. Look change in the face and move toward it. Jesus did. Changed his entire life from being a carpenter to spreading the gospel to saving us from ourselves. New beginnings, changes in our lives. They can be a good thing. Amen.